week before classes started this year, two of us from the Bethany community decided to take a drive up north. And so we got in a car and we went right past Bethany. And then we went up to the River Valley. And we settled down at the north end of a beautiful lake. The lake is about 12 miles long and about 7 miles wide. Hills on all sides, just a beautiful spot. Birds flying through the air. A delightful location to be. The place where we were is the very spot where Jesus spoke the words of our text. We passed the real Bethany and we went up the Jordan River Valley and settled at the Sea of Galilee. Now hear these words from that location. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's natural for us to get caught up in worry and anxiety and chasing after things. After all, we don't seem to have as much as other people, and greed gets in our way. And these things are all right in front of us. And the things of the kingdom of God seem so abstract and far off and intangible, maybe things of the future, but the things of this world are in our face. After all, when I'm wearing a nice suit of clothes, why do I need the clothes woven by Christ on the cross if I'm concerned only with these earthly things? Irony of ironies, it's these very earthly things that are the ones that will not last. Only the things of the kingdom will continue forever. Yet, Esau, for a bowl of lentil soup, gives up the greater things. And the man who built barns had them filled up on the very night that his soul was required from him. And Martha worried about many earthly things, the things of this world, things that are in our face all the time, and she gave up the words of the king in front of her. And a woman in Las Vegas recently cluttered her house more full and more full of hoarded stuff. She went missing for 4 days. I'm sorry, 4 months. Went missing for 4 months. As it turns out, she was in her house all of the time, dead, smothered by the clutter of things around her. Even the cadaver dogs could not find her body, covered with the stuff of this world from the floor to the ceiling. You say an extreme case, and of course it is. That's why it made the news. But yet, little by little, in our case too, things of this world can change our priorities. Push aside, nudge aside bit by bit, the things of the kingdom of God. And the tragedy then, of course, is that we do have barns that are full of things, but our souls are empty when they are required of us. And so Jesus settles down by the Sea of Galilee in a beautiful location, and he teaches disciples. These are believers that are in front of him. And so the message is for us too as believers. He knows our natures. He knows that our old nature is in cahoots with the spirit of this world, and we are liable to give in to hoarding to a certain extent, if not hoarding of things in our garages or houses, hoarding in our minds as greed carries us. And so he teaches us in love. And he uses the very setting teach us the greater things of the kingdom. He had just talked about the birds of the air. The The location at the Sea of Galilee is one of the great migrations of birds in this world. The birds, as they travel from Europe to Africa and back, settle down and get their food in the Gila Basin. By the millions they do this. By the millions. And God feeds them all. Jesus uses that as an illustration just before the words of our text. And he says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And he uses the argument from the lesser to the greater. Won't he take care of you? If he takes care of all of those birds, and the locals assure us that those birds are well fed there from what they leave behind. He uses also an illustration of the lilies of the field. This area next to the Sea of Galilee is a very fertile area. Today it can grow cotton and bananas and grapes and wheat and whatever else needs to be grown. But Jesus uses a wild flower as an example of how the Heavenly Father provides. Look at the lilies of the field, he says. They don't toil or spin. And yet Solomon wasn't dressed like as pretty as one of these. And if that's the way he deals with things that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he take care of you who have an eternal destiny? The argument from the lesser to the greater. Of course he will, is Jesus' point. Jesus himself could have used that area for his own selfish purposes. It's a beautiful area, as you said. He could have built a beautiful home there and settled in. After all, he had a great following of people, and he could have stayed there safe and secure. He was a carpenter and a mason, as the word that describes the occupation of his father means. He could have built a fine, fine place, set up a kingdom there, a wonderful earthly kingdom, drinking in all this beauty. He could have been tempted by another situation in that area too. This area was a hotbed of political shenanigans. The zealots hung out in this area trying to get rid of the Romans. Jesus could have said, I'll help you get rid of these Romans. I'll use my divine powers and we'll establish the kingdom of David, an earthly kingdom. But instead he said from this area, look, up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be turned over to the enemies, mocked, flogged, killed, but on the third day rise. He did this for us, to give us the robe of righteousness instead of mere clothes, to give us peace with God in a kingdom of heaven instead of a mere earthly kingdom filled with stuff. And now he promises, seek that kingdom, and all these other things will be given to you as well. Specifically in the context, he's talking about food, drink, clothing. You can add shelter to the clothing. Now notice that Jesus doesn't say, seek the kingdom of God, and then do nothing, and I'll just take care of you. Don't worry about it. He does not say that. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. What's the implication? Yes, seek second these other things. And that's what you're doing here. Getting an excellent education. Thinking about a job. Thinking about good friends. And yes, building houses and so forth. That's fine. That's good. Seek them. But the promise involves seeking first the kingdom of God, and then as you do not tempt God, but seek the things of this world, the good things of this world, he will provide for you adequately. Priorities. Suddenly they become clearer and clearer, don't they, when we seek first the kingdom of God. Then we say, in our good Christian critical thinking, do I really need this when I already own the kingdom of God? Do I really need to pile up all this stuff? or shall I use my God-given wealth to enhance the kingdom of God, to open it for others, to let them see the values of the eternal kingdom of God? Priorities fall into place. The results of a study on happiness were recently revealed. There was a study done by an organization called the Center for Health and Well-Being at Princeton University, and a Gallup poll was involved in this. About 450,000 people were surveyed, and the results released, I think it was last week. And what was the finding? That up to about $70,000, people find themselves happy. After that, happiness does not increase at all. You might feel more successful, but feeling of conceit and success is not the same as happiness. So, even the survey corroborates what the scriptures say. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, we're not going to carry it out with us. So, having food and drink and raiment, let's be therewith content. Finally, a closing image of the main message of Jesus. All you need to do is look right there. I'm just going to give you a moment of silence, 10 seconds perhaps, to contemplate that scene. And when you look at Martha, don't get too self-righteous. We've all been there. We know that look and her concern and worry about many things. Concentrate instead on the King who gave us the eternal kingdom.